Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. We meet at this profound, deep time. Chauvinism is found guilty, right? Nicholas Chauvin was a right-wing dingbat, a supporter of empire from which we get the name Chauvinism. Chauvinism is found guilty. We want to explore that. Earth Day, waxing Buddha's full moon, astro-mytho-guiding narrative, democratic animism now. So whom better to cahoot with, I wondered, and the trickster responded, the return of most skookum, Starhawk. Skookum means connected to the spirits and completely competent for the work at hand. That responsive, reverent ingenuity assume cultural narrative lead. Welcome, Starhawk.
Hi, Carolyn. So great to talk to you again.
I'm delighted.
Happy Earth Day.
So there's many things I want to put on our work table, and you too, but in a conversational realm. So let's see what our rhythm is. But first, you have this great event tonight. Let's honor, describe,
That's right.
animate that.
Yeah, Earth Activist Training is the organization that I direct that teaches permaculture design with a grounding in spirit and a focus on organizing and activism. And tonight we're doing a special Earth Day ritual celebration with myself and with some of our amazing young team, Sunshine Claymore, who's from the Standing Rock Reserve, Monty Will and James Amutabi, who are doing an incredible training called Decolonizing the Dreamer, to me is one of the most like magical, creative, and just like super cool approaches to doing the work of decolonization. And we're going to do a ritual, and people are invited to join in. It's by donation. You can donate whatever you want, but it's also a fundraiser for our diversity scholarship program. And we've been giving scholarships to Black, Indigenous people of color, and also doing our best to provide access for people with various different levels of kinds of abilities, including the deaf community. We'll be doing a permaculture design course in the summer that will have ASL interpretation for the deaf, and all of that is hopefully supported by a lot of very generous people. So you can find out information at earthactivisttraining.org or on my website, starhawk.org, and we'd love to cahoot, conspire, and generally like collaborate with all of you.
That's so wonderful. You are such a prodigious, dedicated embodier of all that we need now. It's really so wonderful. So we are here. It's the waxing Buddha's full moon. The moon will be full on Saturday night. It's the Taurus Scorpio moon when the Buddha was born and achieves enlightenment with his back pressed against the Bodhi tree. Nobody gets enlightened without trees, right? And it's the commerce between backstage and on stage, where the qualities of intelligence we need are most eager to be invited in now. So I wanted to put a little bit about the George Floyd trial, this deep thing, on the table now. Is that good with you, Starhawk?
That's, I think, on all of our minds really strongly.
So I think that, you know, it doesn't require belief, but there is a choreography that's proffered, you know. So, you know, last week, Sunday, Monday, you know, when we were all like, ooh, moon in Cancer, gestating, and a wise ally said, well, we should invite the goddess Mut, Egyptian goddess of truth, she who draws order back from chaos through justice and peace, and she who guides us to weigh our heart against a feather, and if it's heavier than a feather, then Nom Nom eats it. Right? This can go on every other hour, really. But so we did, and so that was the moon Cancer, and reading, you know, Philonise Floyd's piece in the Washington Post, the brother of George Floyd, it's so beautiful, the brewing of kinship, because we're really ladling out, you know, what is it to be a good citizen? There's the worst, and then from that, so much beauty that wants to be deeply honored. But I loved him, Filoni's writing. This is what justice feels like, gut-wrenching relief, mm-hmm. exhaustion. It's not sweet or satisfying. It's necessary, important, maybe even historic. But only with the passage of time will we know if the guilty verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin is the start of something that will truly change America and the experience of Black Americans. And then he speaks of, you know, connecting with all the families of those, you know, and all the witnesses and all the good-hearted people and all the true citizens. It's really, and then the moon in Leo, the public ritual, you know, and Mott was present. And you know, at some point, I just want to honor a smidge of the verdict chart at 1:44 p.m. in Minneapolis on April 20th with Uranus, liberating trickster, overhead at the degree of a Red Cross nurse, the willingness to go into tough situations. And there was so much beauty of so many of those witnesses who went into tough situations. I mean, Chauvin was shaking mace at them and all. And just to honor, you know, kinship, mutual aid, you know, Darnella Frazier, the 17-year-old who recorded the whole ordeal, because the report that the police filed, right, that would have been, is man dies after medical incident during police interaction, like so many. Anyway, so there's many, many others that we can bring in to and fro. But what are the Earth Day? Yes, and anything you want to bring in as a what shall we dedicate to now?
Well, I think everyone, or at least everyone who's likely to be listening to your show, I wish I could say everyone, but unfortunately, probably not everyone. I felt a tremendous sense of relief at the verdict. And at the same time, it was tremendously mixed. You know, there was part of me that was kind of like, well, duh, you know, like, could the universe have made like a clearer case? Like, this was such a horrific, egregious act that was done in plain view of everybody, that was filmed and photographed, that was so long drawn out, that was excruciating, 9 minutes and 26 seconds. You know, it's like if it hadn't been a guilty verdict, there's just like, how could it possibly not be? And yet we know so many times when it has not been. And then at the same time, it feels like the police have just declared open season on Black people. I think there have been like 4 more murders in the last day or two, you know, that are horrific. And at least 2 of them are like teenagers and kids. And, you know,
police white psychosis is trending. And it is, for us now, for all of us now, to do the now, so there's the public trial, the Leo, the Moon in Virgo, now the crafting, the diagnosis, the dedication, the deeper work, the power of language. I loved Donald Williams, who was the mixed martial arts witness, who just said, "I witnessed a murder," and the defense kept egging him on, going, "You were angry and you yelled swear words and you were angry," and he was like, "No, I was more and more pleading for life." "You were angry, weren't you?" "No, I stayed in my body."
Wow.
Again, citizens. These are the qualities of mutual aid. The girlfriend who said when she met George Floyd, she was in distress and he came up and said, "Sister, can I pray with you?" You know, and she was like, "Oh, that's a great opening line." And it was. So there was so much goodness. And yes, it's true. But that's why, I mean, I sat in my car waiting for the verdict, going, right, and could feel, all right, everybody got us Mott, everybody cooling out, but the reactivity of even just a minor mortal as myself compared to those who've experienced direct oppression, you know, was like, this is it. You know, if they don't, what you were saying, if they don't do this, then the soul of America is dead. No, it's like, no, then calm down, steady. Mm-hmm. And it's true, now it does begin, which is why I so much didn't want to, you know, already the news is on to Matt Gaetz's sex scandal, and it's like, no, this is deep now. This Earth Day, this George Floyd honoring, this necessity to tease this small, well, still, yeah, obvious as you say, but a miracle nonetheless. I mean, mm-hmm. right, it's a terrible miracle, but and then I was tracking, because I keep track, you know, when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, mm-hmm. Well, when he was born, Trayvon Martin had his Mercury, his voice, at 12 Aquarius right now, and in the verdict, Saturn is at 12 Aquarius. So the dead are speaking, you know, and representing mm-hmm. so many. But this precision going, the dead are speaking, you know, and the dead are present on this waxing full moon. And then just one more thing, and I want to toss it to you about that we animate the desirable metaphors and the desirable story, lest we leave them by default. Because when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, February 26, 2012, it was beautiful in the sky. There was a moon, exalted in Taurus, conjunct Jupiter. The moon's image was widow weeping at an open grave, and Jupiter's image was the woman of Samaria at the ancient well, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And there was an Episcopalian minister in Florida who said, I want to live in a world where George offered Trayvon a ride home in the rain. So back to yourself, Stark, because that's really where we want to go, the world of mm-hmm. reciprocal blessing and the world of those citizens who stood up for George Floyd and all of that, yeah?
You know, there's a wonderful book I want to recommend to everyone. It's called The Sum of Us by Heather McGee.
And I want to read that, yes.
I really strongly recommend it. She really looks at the way that racism harms everybody.
Everyone.
And she's clear that it harms Black people and people of color worse, but it also harms white people. And she uses the example of how in the 1940s, there were all these beautiful public pools built all over America as kind of, you know, public places to go in the summer and have fun and swim. And then in the 1950s, there were rulings that came down that said they had to be integrated. And there were many, many communities that simply filled in the pool rather than integrated. And she says, this is why we can't have nice things. people would rather cut off their own access to benefits than share it. That harms us all. And the other side to that is to be clear that, you know, think of like what the world would be like if we didn't have racism, if it just miraculously disappeared. Like how much more energy we'd all have for doing beautiful things and making beautiful things. How much, you know, I mean, I know like right. how much emotional energy I've been spending on this, and I'm not even the one who's immediately targeted. All of my Black friends and my friends of color are like really, you know, traumatized by this whole process, and it's exhausting. It's really exhausting. Think of the creative energy that would be liberated in right. a world where we weren't dealing with this stuff all the time.
Well, and that is a great metaphor. The backstage says, you provide the metaphors, we'll provide the molecules. And right, the amount, the liberating from the con, right? Right, to fill in the mm-hmm. pool with concrete. It's just such a cartoon of, you know, Trumpian ding battery. I'd rather mm-hmm. cut off my foot. I'd rather fill this in. I'd rather destroy beauty, right? So beauty is the antidote to this, you know, virility without Venus virus, right? It's like not a hyper yang death frenzy. And you know, I've in a micro and macro way. I mean, the whole world is inside us in some form and outside, but we notice theme. So I've had some boundary issues. I got major identity theft hacked. People opened Wow. bank accounts in my name that I hadn't. Huge amounts of money I didn't have were hoovered from PayPal account. And it's like, whoa, boundaries. And so I've been talking to a lot of fraud people backstage, many hours on Mm-hmm. with banks and PayPal fraud department. And I go, well, is this increasing? And they're like, oh, yeah. Since the COVID and everything's online, it's like, you know, the scam. Because some of it was so Byzantine and complex but, yeah. you know, efficient. Like, whew. And I said, you know, to everyone, we could get to, I go, imagine all that dedicated ingenuity into corruption and meanness. Imagine if we could liberate that into the good. And they're like, oh, that's a great conversation. Yes, we wish that. The amount invested in the con, right? Where are we mm-hmm. truly snookered? Yeah. And that, you know, I like the phrase, you know, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. Tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. So let's, this is where you're so embodied. Let's all be united in our love for the earth and all our kin, which mm-hmm. which is a great thing to imagine, right? And that's part of what you're doing tonight and part of what you're doing with your whole life, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I am hopeful. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this Earth Day. I'm more hopeful about the earth than I have been in many, many years because, you know, we still have a long way to go around climate change, but finally we have somebody in the White House who's taking us in the right direction. And that doesn't mean he's going to take us all the way there. You know, there's still many things we need to pressure him on, especially stopping the Line 3 pipeline and the DAPL pipeline, Dakota Access pipeline. But at least, like, we're having the conversation, and at least we're starting off to go in the right direction. And I'm a great believer in resilience. That's the wonderful thing about working with the earth a lot and actually teaching regenerative land management and design is understand how powerfully the earth has this capacity to heal and regenerate when we work with her. There's actually a very good article in the Washington Post this morning about basically the capacity the Earth has to deal with climate change and to heal this. Again, if we protect her ecosystem, if we start heading in the right direction. So I strongly encourage people to understand that, you know, the regeneration of the land, we can't just look at climate change as a bunch of carbon numbers. We have to look at it as massive ecosystem degradation across the globe. And with that, that includes the degradation of the human ecosystem with things, you know, like racism is toxic to the human ecosystem, just like radiation is toxic to the physical ecosystem. And they're not separate from each other. You know, the same forces that want to keep us locked into fossil fuels and technologies and polluting industries are the same forces that want to keep us divided against each other so that we don't demand that we actually start doing good things and don't demand that we support policies that bring about equity for the earth and for human beings, because you can't really have one without the other.
Perfect.
And I think a lot of people get very hopeless around climate change. And it seems so big and so overwhelming, but there's actually so much that we can do around it. And it feels really good when you just start doing what you can do.
Yeah, no, that's great. Hopeless is too human. I like mm-hmm. to say, let the hubris of humanism be compost for the truth of animism. Everything, you know, a respectful partner, and that's the key thing, really, put on our on our work table. Yeah, so all that you say, yeah, resilience to ally with resilience as you so really do. And I just bring up things I carry with me always when I hosted Janine Benyus many years ago and asked her, what is this biological term, vertical integrated hierarchy? And she said, it's this beautiful thing in nature. It means everything in nature contains the plan of the larger thing it's a part of. And this is what makes for nature's resilience, ingenuity, and self-assembling. So yeah, as you say, you know, it's all one story, right? To just take the casual jackboot of cruel despotism off the jugular of nature for a breath, and the resilience will come back, you know. But it is all the same. I mean, it's George, it's the Amazon, it's the COVID people, it's the breath, you know, and what you were saying, right, so language craft is part of it, and again, things I carry with me in my pocket always, Neil Douglas Klotz saying, when Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as dove, the word he uses in Aramaic for serpent is the same for Eve and wisdom. Serpent, Eve, wisdom, same word. So I said, oh, so all subjugation of the earth and cruelty and despotism and subjugation of women and religious war is a translation error? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. Intentional. So everything now, the Taurus nuzzling realm is about, you know, reciprocal blessing, nuzzling, cooperating with nature again that you so do, and that you get to derive metaphors from actuality, right? I mean, so I have a compost pile. I have composting worms that I think of as my Pluto temple. Here, compost this newspaper headline. But in a little play way, you have a whole life of dedication to that. So is there any strategy that arises in your mind that from your dedication to cooperating with the earth and the animals, that about resilient Johnniness that you'd like to give voice to?
Well, I think one of the things that nature teaches us is that, you know, in a natural system, diversity creates resilience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a prairie that has 400 different kinds of plants in the square yard of it, and a bug comes through, a disease, you know, it might take out one thing, but there's 399 other things, you know, that are there that can survive, that can thrive. And if you mow that down, replace it with a field of genetically engineered corn and round up everything else around it, then you lose that resilience. And I think if we understood that in human systems, instead of looking at someone who might be different from us and going, oh no, that person's a threat, stop and say, well, this, you know, the more diverse we are as a country, the more we can embrace the fact that we've got people who come from different ancestry or different cultures, or we have immigrants that are coming from different lands and nations with different languages and different life experiences, that's increasing our intelligence. It's increasing the range of our perspectives on the world. And if we can embrace that and value that, again, think of the amazing creative things that we could be doing as a culture, if we weren't spending so much time and energy bashing at each other and
we're all practicing this. Right. Well, in micro and macro ways, you know, who brought what to this Renaissance? Everybody's gifts, you know, and yeah. And then, as you were saying, you know, diversity creates resilience. Yes, yes, yes. Syncretism is a sacrament. Yes, and roots. The great pictures of, you know, like Wes Jackson's rewilding center in the prairie. Prairie roots go, you can see them, they go down so deep, you know, and modern annual roots are like, and we go, oh.
Yeah.
But just to put a little example of how I aspire to play, that we all be, you know, so I saw a sign of my neighbors, new neighbors. I'm the old timer in the funky house. Monster Box is coming up, but we're by the river. But, you know, it said, you know, we're about to be sprayed by Mosquito Joe. And I'm like, Oh, Lordy, let me look that up. And it's like, so it's not, it's a pyrethrin, right? So it's natural, but it kills all bees, all butterflies. And if a bee goes back to the hive, it kills the hive and it kills all the insects and the dragonflies that eat the mosquitoes and on and on. And I was like, oh. And I wrote a little note with information, but I go, no, wait, I have to compost my high dudgeon harumphitude before I even deliver this, going even overnight. And then I just go, for your... an offering for your consideration. Did you know that this does all this? And in my research, it led me to many beautiful, great things. The Humane Gardener, this wonderful woman that I hope to host, you know, and many beautiful things. So the ACK was an incentive to find allies in greater beauty, and then also to our ally etiquette, like how do we resolve kerfuffles as opposed to going rah 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 rah. So you know, finger wagging, you know, and. Well, whatever gets our goat is a good experiment to be how to be calm, you know.
Yeah,
is that a fun
really
idea to yourself?
Easy to get activated, and it seems to be our national sport right now is, you know, like.
Well, that's why we want to cool out. Well, all the sneaky colonial traps, right, into reactivity, like, do you approve or disapprove of this? Fum, fum. And it's like, you know, and everybody also on news and everybody goes, what's your reaction? I go, I want their response.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, a reaction is a kind of hot thing.
Well, just thinking about... yeah, instead of going to that place, maybe stopping for a moment and thinking about how do I actually communicate around this?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you can't because people are, you know, their minds are closed and their ears are closed. Sometimes communicating, you might not get a response immediately, but you may never know that your words kind of sink in and start working on a deeper level. And sometimes you can open up communication and dialogue in ways that you don't expect. But we live in a time when it's very hard, like the whole culture around us expects us not to actually have dialogue, but instead to condemn or approve. And that's a really very limited way of looking at the world.
Yeah, it's the same receptor to the colonial racism thing. If we could get snookered into polarity and distracted from the unifying story, the sneaky forms of colonialism that come into play. Yeah, and we're going to take a very short break in a moment, but afterwards, I'd love for to cahoot with you in putting sort of just some aspirational guidelines, standards of ally etiquette and how we want to treat each other and to tease molecules of democracy and democratic animism into the most reactive parts of us to cool it out, that we be agents of cool response. The martial arts witness, I was not angry. I was more and more pleading for life. I will not be baited by you into your game. Yeah. It was very deft and authentic. It was really powerful that way. And, you know, you were angry, weren't you? No, I stayed in my body. I mean, all these are medicines, right? So we're going to have a very short break with...
And, of course, the larger thing, too, is, like, you know, I mean, to live in a world where you can be like, yeah, you bet I was angry. I'm seeing a guy murdered in front of me. In that beautiful answer he gave, there's still the assumption that it's not okay for a black man to be angry. That to be angry is to be bad, you know, evil and dangerous, instead of to be human, to be experiencing the emotion that we feel when life is threatened, when something real is threatened.
Yes. And one could just feel the the depth and wise dedication of this being. And we want everybody, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose for our break music just this short, beautiful thing from Bob Aziz, one of the best film tracks in the world, The Prince Who Contemplated His Soul, International Sufi. This is just a little short piece, but for me, it's a beautiful... male voice, you know, yang, strong enough to be gentle. That's what we're seeing, you know, and kind and taking care of people. And it's that quality of Middle Eastern music, which is grief expressed as artful yearning, like, whoa, becomes a sacrament of kinship. So here's this short, beautiful song.
Jumlegi dar hukme سه پروانه در جهان عاشقان افسانه اولی خود را به شمع نزدیک کرد گفت آن من یافتم معنای عشق دومی نزدیک شعله بار زد گفت سوزش سومی خود داخل آتش فکند آری آری این بود معنای
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our guest is Starhawk, and that was just a short excerpt, a beautiful musical break called Song of the Butterflies. And I love it so much, and that whole soundtrack to Bob Aziz's Sufi film. You know, again, I find it so moving. It's grief, it's yearning, it's we're all in this dream together. So I love that part. So... Starhawk, yes, wherever we want to go, but I love the tradition, and this is part of the planting of the trees and the working of the garden and all that you do, which is outwardly expressed dedication, has tremendous power, and that's really also what this time and this Earth Day and this waxing full moon are about. So to dedicated acts of beauty, right? I mean, because that's mm-hmm. one of your middle names, isn't it? Star, dedicated acts of beauty, Hawk.
I guess it is now.
It's a secret middle name, but now everybody knows.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, so, again, I think a lot of times when we think about climate change, it kind of gets framed in terms of what we have to give up and what we have to do without and what we have to sacrifice. And there's an almost sort of set of underlying assumptions to that somehow goodness involves like denial and... I'm a pagan. I believe in pleasure, but pleasure doesn't necessarily mean just, you know, stuffing yourself with candy and driving around in a big SUV. You know, pleasure might mean the pleasure of putting your hands in the dirt, or watching a seed grow, or of listening to the bird song in the early morning, the incredible beauty and pleasure in the natural world, the incredible pleasure we have when... You know, I think we're appreciating it after this year of isolation of just, you know, connecting with people, having a cup of tea, having a conversation, taking a walk. I honestly believe that if we do the things we need to do to address climate change, what we're actually creating is a world that is far more beautiful, far more just, and far more full of real pleasure, nurturing, nourishing, sustaining pleasure than the world that we have right now.
Right. No, I mean, Taurus, which is our sun, our Mercury, our Venus, our Uranus, our mm-hmm. midheaven, our the Beltane, and the symbol for Taurus, the circle with the horns, we think of as the bull, but it's clear from cave paintings that the circle is the womb and the horns are the fallopian tubes. And Taurus is, why be born? Why does creation create? Why do we go through this? And Taurus says, for pleasure and kinship and evolution and mutual aid. And, you know, then, and as you say, you know, it says, you know, pleasure is a discipline. The first piece of cake might be pleasurable. The third piece of cake has nothing to do with, it's compensatory.
Yeah.
You know, it's America, too much and never enough. The gorge theory, we'll eat the world, you know, because I don't have any real beauty. I have the toxic mimic of beauty. I've been sold the con, mm-hmm. so nothing can fill that. Right. So real beauty, right? And it is. See, I think, you know, what you said is really important, that you know, dedicated acts of beauty is part of what makes us effective. And this is, Taurus is the most sensually intelligent realm. Everything is food, mm-hmm. smell, taste, touch, song, rhythm, color, you know. And so drinking color, I just learned a trick of adding a little bit of blue-green algae to some almond milk with powdered mushroom and a banana, and it's like, oh my God, you can drink turquoise. It's gorgeous. It's like drinking colors. So this is good for us. And animals, I think we run our social activism by animals. I used to always do that with the wolf dog and the coyote, going, you want to go into this meeting about long, unwinnable struggle? And they're like, is there food? And I go, no, no. And they're like, no, I don't want to. I think that's part of the Buddha's full moon party, like inviting power into the world. But if we're going to invite power into the world, we can't do it by, oh, we're having a terrible time here, please come to my party. It's like, no, come on, we're eager to cooperate, we're enthused, we're re-enthusing ourselves, but with full depth of the horror and the grief, you know, and greater dedication to structures of solace and support and kindness. And the psilocybe mushrooms chime in and go, we'll help you to feel the beauty and pattern of nature, going, come back into the dance, you rogue humans, right? It will be more beautiful. So, yeah. Yeah, and dogs.
And
dogs rolling on their back. Sorry, yes?
When the most pleasurable thing... Can you hear me?
You go. No, you go. I couldn't. Sorry. Yeah.
I think one of the most pleasurable things we can do is that pleasure we get when we're all working together for some common good. I mean, up here, you know, I live out on 40 acres of land in the traditional lands of the Kashaya Pomo out in western Sonoma County. I spend most of my time out here during COVID. And we're one of the areas where wildfire is always a constant threat throughout the summer. We were evacuated last year. We had fires very close to us on two or three different sides. Luckily, I feel very grateful that our land didn't burn, but our neighborhood has been getting together all winter. And we've just said, you know, we're not going to wait for a government grant. We're not going to wait for a program. We know what needs to be done here. We need to do thinning and pruning and fuel load reduction and creating shaded fuel breaks, making our access roads safer. And we've just had workday after workday, you know, two of them every weekend for the last month or so, because there's a limited amount of time you can do this work in the woods. And it's been such an incredible experience. You know, just people have gotten to know each other who've been out here for years and never met. You know, people have been, someone brings lunch and we, you know, gather together. And I'm not like the most, you know, I'm not like the burly young dude with a chainsaw. I'm not going to be 70 this year. I have like bad knees and challenges, but I can get out there with my little electric chainsaw and my handsaw and my pruners, and I can load up trucks and I can move stuff around. You know, people just get out there and we do what we can. And we know that if we get one of those big wind-driven, climate-driven huge, enormous wildfires that comes through here. Possibly none of this will really make a difference, but we also know that it might make a difference. And it might make a difference that might save somebody's life or save somebody's home. And at least we'll know that we have something. We've been proactive. We've done what needs to be done. And I think that, you know, in activism, we often spend a lot of our time being judgmental toward each other, judging each other's language. You know, I think almost like, you know, we think that change is made by telling people exactly how they have to say something and condemn them if they say it in a slightly different way. And I believe we'd be better off if we could, yeah, if we could just think about taking action together, saying, how do we actually work together? What can we do about this? How do we do it? No. Kendi, who wrote the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, I love the way he frames it, that being an anti-racist is supporting policies that lead to equity. You know, so what can we actively do to support those policies? And I think there's a lot that we can do. Like I said, there's a lot we can do around climate change. There's a lot we can do about equity. In particular, right now, one of the main things we can do about equity is pressuring our senators and our congresspeople, but especially our senators, to get rid of the damn filibuster and pass the Voting Rights Act, For the People Act, and assure the right to vote, because we're seeing this assault on that right from the Republicans around the country, particularly aimed at people of color and at youth and at anyone who might vote Democratic. But it's a real revival of the Jim Crow South spread all over the country.
And it is a demonic, ongoing, horrific self-parody. Mm-hmm. DeSantis in Florida is passing an anti-riot law that grants civil immunity to those who drive cars into protesters. It's just conniption fit inducing, but it puts it on the table going, yeah, it's shameless and no extreme. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, again, the delusion virus, you know, going, all right, let's shapeshift that. But yeah, so there is much, yeah, absolutely to see and to, you know, encourage our senators and exhort our senators and John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the George Floyd police reform. And that this is the next part of the next, but I love what you said. Mm-hmm. I have extreme, in a very inspiring, good way, team envy, Starhawk. It's like, oh, you've got your team out there doing those things. That is so the way to go. And we're aspiring. It's like, I would like a team to do those things with. But it's also, I'm quite fond of Bo, of the fifth, whatever it is, on YouTube, his commentaries. And he's very community activist. And he said, yeah, what you are doing, Starhawk. He said, we have to have our affinity groups. Sometimes it's about 13. You might not know them well, but you're just meeting them. And it's who brought what. And exactly what you said, going, this needs doing. We could wait for the government and get angry. Mm-hmm. Or we could just, like, let's fill in the pothole. Let's trim the trees. Let's do this thing. And it's a much more interesting conversation about community and government, right? How can they symbiose in a reciprocal, supportive way? But he says his affinity group in sort of, extreme rural Florida, he said, is mostly left-leaning, competent hippie anarchists and small government conservative Republicans, right? So it transcends exactly what you were saying, the dedicated work for community good. Citizens, being citizens, you know, unites people. I mean, when I was in New Orleans after Katrina, a year after Katrina, when it was still, like, horrific, but the most effective team that was actually taking care of the community with showers and food and helping them tear down their houses and, I mean, all kinds of horrific things was right-wing evangelicals and Berkeley permaculture hippies working together, you know, and they were the effective team. Like, here, you need a shower. Here, what can we do for you? So and what you were saying about, yes, these sneaky tricks, I like to get into trouble by saying, you know, feminists who lose their sense of humor are the new patriarchy. And then I go disappear. Right? Then somebody's going to prove that point. That's right. But again, the playful ally etiquette manners, right? We don't have to go into, you know, the amount of reactive controversy over you just going, I had a vaccine and I feel great.
Right. Yeah.
People going, oh, well, you're not a witch, you're just, and it's like, well, now we compost all those things, autonomy is a sacrament, and where's creative agency, and yeah, no, I would say, well, that's right, we were in that thread, but yeah, just putting some manners on the table, going, oh, that impositional finger wagging, very colonial.
Seems to be this idea that, you know, everybody, like, somebody has to be perfect for you to approve of them in any
approve.
Way. Like, you know, and I'm more of a, you know, there's a school of dog training, I'm sure you know, that says, like, you don't wait for your dog to perfectly do the thing you're trying to do. You reward the dog as soon as they make a move in that direction. You know, so if you're trying to teach your dog to sit and she twitches her haunches, you give her a little reward for that. And then she lowers it a little bit, you give her a little reward for that. And you shape that behavior toward
right.
where you want it to go. And I think
a good politician.
We could do more
yes,
of that
are.
In politics, yeah. right?
Well, no, discourage the bad, encourage the good.
Yeah.
I just want to put on the composting pile, you know, the despotism of Nya Nya going, well, this, we can work in this way, and Biden's doing some good things. Nya 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 Nya. It's like, no, of course, and military budget should be reduced, and we know that, you know, but encourage the good. Going, who's the good? Where's this? Where we're going? You know, and and nuance. So many of these public conversations could be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Big Pharma is corrupt. Yes, you know, Pfizer is the biggest pharmaceutical felon in for criminal negligence and past suits, and so are they all. You know, this seems to be a good thing, right? As well, it's like nuance. Many stories. Because colonialism and QAnon delusion is about only one story. Only one right and thing. It's like, no, we want to, no. Well, what you were saying about diversity is stable.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's diverse, and we're all diverse, and we all contain multitudes, and some of them are going to be in alignment with our deepest ideals, and some of them are going to be like maybe parts of ourselves that aren't so wonderful. Parts of ourselves that are just human and make mistakes, and go off in weird directions.
Truly, you know, we are all befoiled, right? And I guess to create an atmosphere of kind tolerance. I want to bring just the medicine of Jamaica into play, you know, just as it's available in collective mind. But I admire it. The cultural mind so much. It's deeply interested in how are we being played? How are we being played? Mm-hmm. Right? But to be deeply investigative, how are we being played? How are we being conned with one love, with a kind heart? It's like that's the best and most challenging of medicines. You know, that's something to aspire to see deeply and discern, diagnose, you know, and liberate if possible. We blow it, right? And just little thing, you know, there's something that will get my goat, or I might be resolving it now, but which is if somebody drives up to a little neighborhood cafe and leaves their car running while they go in to do God knows what, you know, and it would be like, no. And I would make up a whole story. They're in SUVs and they probably voted for dingbats in their front. And it's like, no, compost her umphitude. And then with one guy, I go up and I go, after I'd compost, I go, excuse me, sir, it is the custom in this neighborhood to turn off our motor when idling. And he goes, oh, since you asked so nicely, I will. And I went and finished my coffee, and then on my way back, and he was just, you know, good old boy in a big, huge, giant monster truck. And I, as I passed him, I goes, that was great. Thank you. And he goes, that was a great dance. Thank you. Anyway, so these little micro moments of transcending, and it's a Venus thing, you know, where it's hot, you know, Mars, you know, add Venus, just a spiraling, a meandering, a watering thing, a gracious, unexpected. It's Venus and Uranus, the unexpected act of beauty. I like Martine Prechtel saying, you know, you can walk up to somebody and give them some chocolate and a poem in pre-COVID days, I guess. You know, it's a love drive. It's a love drive-by. Mm-hmm. Again, just to be unexpectedly gracious while fully informed and savvy is one of many. But yeah, as you say, you know, yes, anger and that's why I think those of us not under immediate reactive pressure, we can spiral into group mind, you know, an expanded repertoire of ways of being safe and effective. And that's what you do with your spiral rituals and your virtual gathering tonight too. I mean, you're doing real things that waft blessing into group mind, right?
Yeah, we want to give people a chance to acknowledge the grief that we feel and the stress that we've all been under, and release that and bring that through into just planting some seeds of renewal and regeneration, and then really thinking about how do we tend them, and what do we do to really tend the earth right now? What support do we each need? How do we ask for it? How do we offer it to one another? How do we commit? You know, when you plant seeds and you plant the garden, I was planting some seeds right before this conversation, and you have to kind of look at and say, what conditions is this going to need to grow? You know, do I put it in the greenhouse? Do I take it down and keep it in my cabin where it'll be warmer at night? Do I water it? How much do I water it? We can do that on so many different levels. Again, when we realize, like, I don't have to be a perfect person to plant a seed. I'm not a perfect person. All right. I'm going to make mistakes. I might mess up some of these seeds. They may not grow. But if I commit myself and I watch and I look and I listen, some of them will. And I think it's the same with our activism. I hear a lot of white people kind of going through a lot of painful self-searching, which is probably good, you know, about privilege and guilt and all that. But at a certain point, it turns into like this endless self-perfecting. Instead, again, going back to Ibram X. Kendi again, like, they're just saying, like, what policies can I actively support that are going to create equity? And if I want to be an anti-racist, like, that's what I have to do. I don't have to, you know, strip myself of every unconscious racist thought or atone for every insensitive thing I've ever said or might say. You know, it's good to be aware and to listen, to do all that. But ultimately, what action can I take to really support a world of equity and justice? And how do I actually build real relationships with people in my life that come from diverse places and diverse backgrounds? Because that's going to enrich my life. That's going to make me a smarter and kinder and more a person who lives in a world that is far more beautiful and far more pleasurable.
Beautiful. Well, it's the community sort of description embedded in the astrological language, you know, Saturn and Uranus, the expressions of Aquarius, you know, private acts of, you know, dedicated to collective well-being, right? So everything from, you know, Marie Laveau going, if you want to get change done, first you open your back door and you sweep out the past, whoosh, 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 then you open the front door, sweep it in, and then you go out and kick butt. I think inquisition over Inquisition over there, still terrible things, but it's safer for everybody to come on out now. Come on out as whatever you are, a living animist, you know, the wizard, the language crafting people. I mean, who brought what? You know, everybody emerged from witness relocation program. And Pluto says, no matter how trippy and far out your self-described job title is, it's still a cover. You're still more interesting even than that. Going, there we go, let it come out like tendrils going, right, you know, ollie ollie income free. Talk to every, I mean, I think, you know, in such encouraged introversion, although I want to have a team like you do, you know, it does encourage talking to everything. You know, I dropped a fork and apologized. Oops, sorry. But I think that's a good direction, actually. I think no sense being half pixelated. Time to go fully pixelated. So, and then I just wanted to honor again who the beings, the micro citizens, embodiment of citizens, and I just want to honor Darnella Frazier again, the 17-year-old who recorded the whole ordeal. Without which, you know, she said he was suffering, he was in pain. It seemed like he knew it was over for him. He was terrified, and the world needed to see what I was seeing. And then she says she stays up apologizing to George. You know, when I look at George, I look at my dad, my brothers, my cousins, my uncles. I look and see how...
That really broke my heart.
But then she
felt so basically human. You know, that...
True citizen. And then she deftly... finished it. She says, I've been nights I stay up apologizing to George for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life, but it's not what I should have done, it's what he should have done. She closes.
Yeah.
And she's been awarded and honored.
Yeah, what a beautiful human being, you know, and what a contrast.
And I like the symmetry.
How do we build a world where the Darnella Frasers are what we all aspire to be, and where the power is taken away from the Derek Chauvins and the people who abuse it?
All Chauvin.
A better world, I believe, for all of us.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I apologize for the delay in which I was tromping on you. But yeah, and then I do love that that Darnella was honored with an award from Spike Lee, and that Anita Hill spoke to her and said, "Your quick thinking and bravery under immense pressure has made the world safer and more just. You know, thank you."
Mm-hmm.
And Frazier was quiet and said, "I never would imagine out of my whole 17 years of living that this will be me. It's a lot to take in, but I couldn't say thank you enough." And we go, these are beautiful micro parts of our dream of good citizenship and people doing really good. So I leave you the last... Any well wishing in our last seconds here? I toss it back to you, Starhawk. Just say one more time how people can join you tonight. The website, Starhawk.
Yeah, so people go to our website, earthactivisttraining.org. There's information on tonight's ritual. It's going to be a ritual around letting go of grief and deepening our connection to the earth and finding renewal and resilience with myself and with some really wonderful members of our extended Earth Activist Training team, Sunshine Claymore, who's permaculture teacher from Standing Rock, Amani Will, and James Amutabi, who are doing an incredible
decolonizing course, the dreamer.
Decolonizing the dreamer. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. On our way out. Yeah. We're on our way out. Thank you so much, Starhawk. That's wonderful.
Thank you,
everyone.
Carolyn,
you know,
great to talk to you.
It's wonderful. Dedicated acts of beauty are the antidote to the virus of reality without Venus. Thank you. Then thank you. You know, Kirsten Thomas, so much. Great board up. I'm Caroline Casey. You can also find me Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, Visionary Activist Show. And there we have it. We'll reconvene next week. Woof, woof, woof. Thank you.